Hello, welcome to Q&A with Perry A. and Calcium Bentonite Clay. This is where you bring your questions and I do my best to answer them. I want to address the elephant in the room today because this is the 13th year of the terrorist attack in New York City, and I know everyone, it comes to mind on 9/11, that it has a different meaning for us. But 42 years ago, I had a little bouncing ball of joy. My youngest daughter actually was born, and she's still a bouncing ball of joy, a kindergarten teacher, so very much has that loving, childlike attitude. But in retrospect with the other 9/11 event, let's just remember to say I love you to those, and remember life can be temporary. So a little more love, and or a whole lot more love would be more appropriate. We already have some questions in queue, so I'm going to address those first. Mary Helen in Stony Point, New York. I'm enjoying my clay baths, but wondering if I need to rinse off with clear water after the bath. Thank you. Absolutely not. When you dry off, that little bit of clay that's still on your body will work while you sleep, and when you dry off and feel your skin, you'll notice it is extremely baby soft after a clay bath. Your skin just feels like a baby skin. And why would you want to rinse that off and then have the chalky water film feeling? So, no, it's perfectly all right to dry off. That's all I do. I never rinse off. I want as much on me as long as possible. Joanne Eckert in Aquana, I'm not sure where that is. She said, we love living clay and use it for everything from bug bites to hair rinse. My 13-year-old son with autism has been doing clay baths 3 times a week with 1 cup of clay and drinking 2 ounces of clay twice a day. We are seeing small gains in focus and eye contact, but we aren't seeing the gains that other friends with children with autism are seeing. Should we increase the amount of clay he is taking and the number of baths? Do you have any other suggestions? Thank you. You can increase for a 13-year-old. He could definitely go to 3 ounces twice a day of the liquid clay, and you can increase his bath to 1.5 cups or even 2 cups of clay, and see if you notice any change in that. There's so many factors affecting autism, and some of it can be diet. I'm sure you are very conscious of a strict sugar-free, dairy-free type diet, gluten-free type diet for your son. That can have an effect. And I don't know the differences. Some children seem more receptive to the clay, and immediately you see giant improvements in a calmness in their vocal ability and their eye contact and their focus. And others, it's a little bit slower. I'm not sure why that is, but it certainly won't hurt to increase the amount of clay. And I hope you are following the directions for the clay baths and mixing it in a blender. That's the best way to get the clay really emulsified before you put it into the bath water. Just thought I'd mention that also. Keep in touch and don't hesitate to email me or even give me a phone call anytime you have a question. And I think my information is all over the website where the archives are. Daryl in Chillimark. I'm getting all these new names today. I just had my cholesterol checked and it is high at 250. Want to ask if I can reduce cholesterol by drinking living clay. How much clay should I ingest to reduce my cholesterol? That's a good question. There are two causes of cholesterol. One is dietary and the other is hereditary. Clay can address the dietary causes. I can't guarantee that it will address the hereditary causes. It's known to help the vascular system and the heart. I would drink, start with 2 ounces 3 times a day and build up to 3 ounces, even go to as much as 4 ounces at least twice a day and see how you do with that and what you notice. Now, with cholesterol, if you know you're going to be eating buttery, greasy foods, fat, something fried, going out to eat Italian food and have Alfredo sauce. If you've never looked up the recipe for Alfredo sauce, you'll find it's pretty much butter and cream with a little bit of flour and seasoning. So anytime you know you're going to eat something like that, just take a little swig of clay before and after you eat so it can capture that fat, same with pizza and Mexican food, any greasy foods you're going to eat. If you put a ton of butter on things, drink a little clay before you eat that. Clay is known to absorb oil. We did a test one time when the BP oil spill came out because we were wondering why they weren't using bentonite. These oil people use bentonite in their drilling. Why don't they use it to absorb the oil? And we actually had a little pan of water, and I used olive oil, and my partner used motor oil. And then we'd sprinkle the clay. It took quite a bit of clay, but it absorbed the oil, and it sunk to the bottom. And I waited a little while, and then I'd reach in, and I'd kind of squeeze the clay at the bottom to see if it released any oil, and it never did. So my thinking is that it will absorb that excess oil and grease before it goes into the body. And so try that and let me know. We have had some people that it's lowered their cholesterol and others not so much, not significantly amount. So thank you for those questions. Chris in Long Island, can you tell me what the difference between calcium and sodium bentonite is besides their chemical makeup? There are some sites that recommend taking sodium bentonite. The sodium bentonite that's not too high in sodium is okay. The higher you get in sodium, the more plastic and gooey and gummy-like the clay gets. Most sodiums are used for industrial use. If it's a low sodium clay, it's okay. It does have a different effect in the interlateral structure, chemical structure of the clay molecule, in that your sodium has the charges is different, and the calcium is stronger than the sodium, so it bonds the clay molecule tighter together. You can't see the differences in the clay. Sometimes with the sodium clay, I can taste the saltiness. You are getting more sodium from it, but it's not the amount of sodium you're getting as much as the effect of the clay. If you've ever taken Sony's clay or Great Plains clay, it's very thick and kind of gooey and really doesn't taste very good. And you compare that to another clay, and there's a world of difference in the texture. So I guess it's a personal preference. I'm a strong believer in the calcium bentonite, but, you know, try both of them and compare and see which one works best for you in the long run. Okay, Dennis in Elgin, Illinois. I've been on dialysis for 4 years. Would liquid clay be a benefit to me? I am limited to water intake. I really don't know, Dennis. I've never thought about that much or studied it. I would have to go in and study the dialysis. And I'm trying to see. I'm thinking more instead of liquid clay, putting a poultice over your kidney. It is known to stimulate body organs. And the first time I definitely wouldn't do it more than an hour, just for an hour at a time the first week, and see how you do with that and if it's able to boost the liver. We have had instances where clay poultice and drinking the clay over the liver. We had a gentleman who had cirrhosis of the liver and hepatitis C, and he had 5% of his liver left, and the doctors pretty much told him to go home and get his affairs in order, and they gave him 6 months to live. And he started drinking a cup of the clay 3 times a day and putting a poultice over his liver, starting out slowly and building up and leaving it on to leaving it on overnight. And in 6 months' time, his liver had grown back 30%. Within a year's time, they could find no trace of the hepatitis C. He was back in, but he had made a tremendous strides in the first 6 months. His yellow and jaundicedness was gone. He was feeling better. He was up and moving around and wasn't sick like he was before. So I haven't heard from him if he's found out if his liver has grown back any more than the 30%, but I know he's back at work and feeling great. So that's something to consider. Christina in San Diego. One of the customers on Amazon tested your 4-ounce clay mask with a Geiger counter and found it radioactivity, while the now bentonite isn't. Living clay 150 CPM, the EC clay 45. Please address the radioactivity of your product. All clays have some natural radioactivity. We had it tested by a professional testing company with professional Geiger counting machinery, and they said ours was very safe. It wasn't, you know, dangerous at all, and not it wasn't a concern. That's all I can go by. Our bed of clay is capped with a 2-foot layer of crystalline zeolite, so that keeps any impurities from getting into it. So I'm not sure what the machine he was using or why it was, what it was picking up, but that's what I do know. It was recently that we had it tested by a Geiger counter expert with high-grade equipment, and that's all I know about that. And I'm not sure if the now clay has been treated in some way. I do know that any radiation in clays are captured. Clay captures radiation and doesn't let it out, so if it's been exposed to anything, it will hold it. That's why they put it in Chernobyl after the nuclear meltdown, was to absorb the radiation. So it will not be releasing radiation into your body. All right, good questions today. Kathy in Miami, is it okay to drink clay daily, or do you have other recommendations? I've been drinking clay daily for 20 years, and I think it's great. I feel like I'm 76 years young, not 76 years old. I really don't have arthritis. If I sit too long, I get a little stiff, but don't we all? It really has helped me to keep me active, and I don't go to the doctors. I don't have any major medical problems. I don't even have cavities. I brush my teeth with the clay and pack my gums in them, and wore braces for 3 years thinking I would have a lot of cavities when I took them off, and I didn't. So I highly recommend drinking the clay daily. When you take the clay for a little while and then get off, it loses its effect and your body gets out of balance. Clay is homeostasic and it wants to maintain balance in your body. It wants to balance your acidity, wants to bring everything where it's supposed to be. So your seesaw is balanced. And when you get off of it, if you're not eating right, you're going to filter again and you're going to begin to have the roller coaster effect. So I definitely recommend drinking it on a daily basis. You know, after you've cleansed and gotten accomplished what you want to accomplish, if you want to cut down on the amount of taking and go to maybe 1 ounce twice a day, try that and see how you do. If you begin to get acidic again or have some problems, increase your clay. Everyone's maintenance dose will be a little bit different depending on your lifestyle and your personal physical makeup. So you can play around with it and find that happy place. But it's not going to hurt you to take it the rest of your life. In fact, I plan on doing just that. Thank you, Kathy. Kathy had another question. Just wanted to say I did my first clay mask today and absolutely love the results. Thank you for a wonderful product. Isn't it amazing how one clay bath, you wash it off and your face feels so soft, it's tight. And if you will do that every day for a while, people are going to come up and say, what have you been doing? You have a glow about your skin and you look younger. Have you been doing Botox? I promise you, if you do that for a month, and it doesn't have to be every day, you can do it every other day. I just love the results. Often at night, I put a thin coat on, particularly around my wrinkle lines, and I let it dry and just sleep with it on. So keep playing with it and enjoy those results. Thank you. All right, let's see if we have any more questions that have come in. Looks like I'm fresh out of questions right now. So I'll go back and over to the phone lines and see who we've got. Quite a few listeners today. Would anyone on the phone have a question or a comment they'd like to make? If you do, if you press star 2, we're open to hearing your inquiries as well as successes that you might want to share. It's kind of how we learn from each other. Any ideas about some of the comments we've made today, we'll welcome those. Press star 2 on your phone and I can open that line. If not, I'll start talking about clay. We may have some new listeners on today. And if you don't know, clay is volcanic ash. It's the purified core of Mother Earth with all the impurities burnt out. And it's a lot of trace minerals linked together, joined by oxygen molecule and the inner structure layer. Now, there are all types of clays. There are 7 families of clays. Your smectite clays are the most popular healing clays, and they are known for that because they have the highest cation exchange rate and the largest surface area. So basically, they can pull and hold more toxins, and they're just a more effective clay. Your bentonites, your montmorillonites, a clay called Fuller's Earth, all of these are of the smectite family. And again, there's sodium and calcium in all families of clays. It depends on when the ash fell, the bloom from the volcano, if the ash fell into inland lake or an inland sea. If it was a saltwater lake or sea, you have sodium bentonite. If it was clear water, fresh water, it would have, which would be a lot of snow runoff, would be your calcium, pretty much your calcium bentonites. Sometimes you have magnesium bentonites in there too. Magnesium and calcium generally are pretty close to the same, and since calcium is the most popular, people just commonly refer to it as the two differentiation, the calcium and the sodium. So clay works from the inside out. When you put it on topically, it heals from the inside out. If you have a cut that goes to the bone, you wrap it in clay, first in clay powder to stop the bleeding, and wrap it tight. And when the bleeding stops sufficiently, put the mask over it, wrap it again, and it will literally pull the incision together prettier than if it were stitched up. And it reduces scar tissue, so it leaves very little scarring. You'll have a little narrow line, and that may begin to fade with time. It's amazing how it heals open wounds. It will pull out the infection. It will debride the wound. On burns, they have to scrub you to debride the wound. It's very painful. And if you put a clay on a burn instantly, you want to put the clay mud on there. It's very soothing and cooling. In a matter of seconds or minutes, depending on how severe the burn is, the pain goes away. And that in and of itself is miraculous. We had a lady who burned skull and grease on her hand. One who got hot water from her coffee. She had just stuck it in the microwave and her robe caught on the microwave door and scalded her hand. And she put the clay on there immediately and the next morning the back of her hand was slightly pink, no blistering, a little bit tender, so she kept the clay on there, and by that night her hand was back to normal, and it stopped the pain instantly. So anything that hurts, put clay on it. If you have a sore toe, an ingrown toenail, a rash, hives, shingles, poison oak, poison ivy, insect bites, put the clay on immediately. I had a wasp sting me right on my cuticle, a red wasp. By the time I got to the house from the yard, it was already swelling. I packed my whole finger in clay, let it dry, and it got very cold, and I could feel a throbbing sensation. Not a painful throbbing. It was more like a sucking. It was like I could feel the clay pulling the venom out. And it generally, if I got bit by a wasp on my finger, the whole finger would swell and it would go up to the back of my hand. And none of that happened. It just, I kept it on there that day. Changed it a couple of times, would let it dry, and if it started falling off, I'd go put some more on, and by that night, I was fine. So any kind of insect bites, snake bites. I've heard tales of old-timers using clay when they were out in the woods, when they'd get bit by a copperhead or a rattlesnake, and they would pack it in the clay mud. I would say pack it in clay first and get thee to a doctor quickly. But I think together they could do that. Boils and styes, anything topically, put the clay on it. Now, internally, achy joints, arthritis, there's something miraculous that happens when you drink the clay that seems to dissolve those buildup. And recently I've had several testimonies of people with kidney stones and gallstones where the clay has begun to dissolve the stone. And one gentleman, when he started drinking the clay, his wife is the one that was advocating drinking a cup of the clay 3 times a day because she had all these colon problems, and it changed her colon from that of a 70-year-old to a 20-year-old in 4 months. Well, she got her husband to drinking it, and he noticed he started getting severe pain in his back, and he kept drinking it, and he noticed there was looked like sand in his urine. So he captured some of it the next time he went to the bathroom and showed it to a nurse friend of his who looked at it and said, those are kidney stones, but they're rounded off and smooth. Said most people that pass kidney stones have severe pain in their back, and the pain is so severe they have to go to the emergency room. But it's broken up and the edges are smooth, so you pass kidney stones. So that's just from drinking it. That arthritis, it balances your pH. People with acid reflux and acidity conditions, it will clear you right up. No side effects from this clay. I mean, you may have a detox reaction if you're highly toxic, and the first time you take it, you may be a little lethargic or feel tired for a few days, but keep going through it. It's telling you you're detoxing. If it's a rash, put clay on the rash and help it out. It's trying to get out of the body, but it's kind of stuck under the skin. It comes to the top, and it causes a rash. The lady who was drinking it for her colon problem knew she had a blockage in her colon and was going to have surgery, and she put a poultice on her stomach. And the next morning when she took it off, there was a little rash around part of it. It looked like a little racetrack, a little round circle around an area on her lower stomach, and she got her husband to take a picture of it. And eventually when they had to do the surgery, when she woke up, she asked him where it was, and the area it was, she showed him the picture of her stomach with the rash, and the clay was showing where the weak area was that had all the toxic built up in it. So it was right there that they had taken and removed that part of her colon. So these are just miraculous stories that give you a little idea of the power of clay. You use it two ways, internally and externally. When you use it internally, it works from the mouth south, so it cleans house. The clay particle is too large to be absorbed through the colon wall, so the clay itself does not go into the body. But the body benefits from the results of the clay it benefits the whole body. Clay works on the whole body. It works on your energy system. It doesn't need to go through the colon wall to give you a buildup of energy. It cleanses your colon. It gets rid of parasites. When your colon is cleansed, you can absorb more nutrient and vitamins and supplements from the food you eat and the things you take. And people instantly notice an increase in energy and how they feel. So I have another question here from Sandy in El Cerrito. If you sleep with it all and doesn't get all over your pillows and sheets, if you put a thin coat on, it doesn't. If you put it on thick, it's going to crack and fall off. And you're going to wake up with clay in your bed. So put a very thin coat on and let it dry. And it sticks pretty much. I've never really noticed any, you know, the next day. I guess if I felt real good, I might find it feel a little tiny bit, but most of it looks to be still on my face the next morning. I've gone to bed with it on a knee, an ankle. Again, just a thin coat if you're going to sleep with it on. I've used it under my arms for making sure my lymphatic system was cleaned out. We have a new product called, it's a deodorant bar, and it has clay in it. And we had one person who tried it, and she started having horrible BO, which she'd never had before. She went to work, and her body odor got real bad. And she called in, and I told her to put a clay mask under her arm, that the clay was clearing something out in her lymph system. Something was caught in her lymph system. So she started doing the poultice under her arm. She did that for 3 days, and then she went back to using it and never had another problem. So it will detect things. If you put it on and you got BO, start putting the mask under your arms and put some saran wrap under there. Leave it on at night or as much during the day as you can. I have another question here from Christina in San Diego. Thank you for answering the radioactive question I had. My mom is taking baby aspirin, diabetic, high blood pressure, thyroid drugs daily. She also has problem with her knees and hurt her right side of her lower back years ago. Will bentonite help any of her issues? Thank you for your time. She also takes supplements. How about toenail for fungus? Will clay work? How should she time everything out if in case she tries the clay? And thank you again for your time. Well, Christina, thank you for your concern for your mother. First of all, the toenail fungus, absolutely. You prop her foot up and smother that toenail with clay. And you leave it on kind of thick. Just put her foot on a towel and let her sit there and leave it on. She may feel a little throbbing the first time, and it's not, like I say, it's more of a sucking sensation as the clay is pulling the fungus out from the toenail. And you'll need to do that every day or 3 or 4 times a week, off and on for a couple of weeks. And then it's going to take time for the toenail to grow out before you see that it's really working. Because if the toenail has gotten hollow and white and chalky pretty far back, you have to literally wait till it grows out. But putting the clay on the toenail directly will also kind of encourage the toenail to grow. And it may take 6 months to grow out, but be patient. And once you see that it's growing out and the little shelf of whiteness is beginning to be pink where the new nail is coming in. Just keep, you know, using it every now and then to make sure that there's not a little tiny bit of the fungus left under there that's going to flare back up. Let's see. Let me read this again. She's taking baby aspirin, diabetic and high blood pressure, and thyroid drugs daily. Okay. One thing that might help her high blood pressure is to put a poultice on the inside of her upper arm between her elbow and her armpit. Just put some clay, rub it on there, and you want it a little bit thick, kind of like a facial. and wrap some saran wrap around it and leave it on during the day, and that should help her blood pressure go down. I'm not saying take her off her medicine yet, but try that along with her pill and see if her blood pressure doesn't go down some. You can do a poultice over the thyroid. Now, the lady that was taking one cup of clay three times a day, she had what's called Graves' disease. It was hyperthyroid. And while she was doing all that, they had told her that she would have to have her thyroid removed. And there was no cure for it, but after 4 months of drinking that amount of clay, they couldn't find it. So, you know what the doctors do, they say, we must have misdiagnosed that. The baby aspirin is for your mother to thin her blood so she won't get a blood clot, as our circulation, when you get to that age, can be a little more prone to that, and that's to avoid having a stroke or a blood clot and a heart attack. So what I would do would be call the pharmacy and check your blood pressure medicine, your thyroid medicines. Have them check those prescriptions and ask them how long it takes to absorb the clay. Sometimes it's just an hour, sometimes it's 2 hours, sometimes it's 3 hours. So you can find how long it takes her to absorb her medicine. Once the medicine is absorbed, the clay is not going to bother it. It's not going to come in contact with it. So then you can take your clay. And you can take it any time. It's recommended to take it for a cleanse when you're first starting on an empty stomach. But trust me, you get it in you and on you, and it's going to work. I think it would also boost her immune system. It's going to balance any acidity, and when we get older, we are prone to be more acidic in our urine and our body odor and everything. I wish there was some way you could give her a clay bath, but just every now and then to detoxify her, that would be. But if she takes a shower, you might rub some clay on her in the bathroom, kind of warm it in a little bag of warm water in the sink, because it's quite cold when you put it on, and rub it on her and let it dry a little bit, and then have her get in the shower and wash off. But don't avoid putting it on the bottom of the feet while she's walking, because it can be very slippery. So those are some ideas to do. She might do a foot soak to help detox. You can get a pan with some soupy. You want it thicker than the liquid clay that you drink, probably about a 1-to-5 ratio of clay to water, and 5 parts of clay to 1 part of water, and shake it real good. And I'm sorry, 1 part of clay to 5 parts of water. I think I said the same thing, only I just said it in reverse. And shake it real good and pour it in a pan and let her soak her feet. And she can use the same pan for about 3 times. And then add some water to it and feed it to your plants. They'll bloom like crazy. They love it. You can give clay to your pets as well. Now, you mentioned she had a back issue of the lower right side of her back. I don't know the extent of her injury, so I don't know how to address that. If it's a muscle damage, or if it was some damage to her spine, and you might put a poultice over her spine. I have done that for sciatica, and it really pulls. If there's any inflammation and swelling there, a poultice over that would be very helpful. Get some Glad Press and Seal at the grocery store. You buy it with it's right up there with the saran wrap and the wax paper. It's made by Glad, and it's called Press and Seal. It's a little sticky on one side, and cut a strip the width you need and put the clay down the middle and then press it up against her back. Again, warm the clay a little bit because it's going to be cold. And you want a border of the Press and Seal to be dry. And you press that to her skin, and it will keep it in place, and she can wear clothes over it during the day, and she can sleep with it on at night. You know, as long as nobody walks up and slaps her in the back, the clay will stay right in the middle of that area, and when you take it off, it's not like pulling a Band-Aid off that pulls half your skin off. It doesn't have, it will hold to the skin, but it's not such a strong adhesive. I can't use Band-Aids because they leave a rash on me when I pull them off. It just half pulls my skin off. So she's taking supplements. You know, take it 30 minutes to an hour away from her supplements would be fine. But I think it would benefit her to take it just for her overall acidity and her digestive system and for any arthritis she may be getting. If you have any more questions, give me a call. Amy in San Diego. Hi, Perrier. Thank you again for your dedication. Still working on digestive, bloated stomach issues, but confident it's healing with drinking lots of, with lots of clay drinking and some soaking. Got behind on the bathing in clay 2 times per week, but I'm not currently doing coffee enemas as had done coffee enemas nightly for 2 months, maybe 3, and stopped. Wow, I still have bowel movements without enemas. A miracle, as clay seems to be allowing at least 2 times a day large bowel movements. Before clay, had to do enemas or wait 3 or 4 more days. Mind you, I eat healthy foods only, no junk. The question is teeth, as had extracted molar due to an infection, had to go last week, still tender. Drinking and using clay, but still cinder. Any suggestions, please? This clay is truly a miracle if you use it daily. Make it a food for your body. Thanks, Perrier. Oh, I love that. Make it a food for your body. That's a great definition of what clay can do for you. Thank you, Amy. Amy, I would suggest where you had that tooth pulled to put a clay mask on the outside of the jaw. Start back behind the ear and down under the jaw and over the top of the jaw and up by the top of the ear, and put it on kind of thick and let it dry, and you can alternate that, you know, take it, let it dry, wash it off, and put it on again, and leave it, after it dries, leave it for a while. If it begins to crack and break off because you're talking and moving your jaw, then wash it off, rehydrate it, wash it off, and put some fresh on. I would also pack some dry powder clay between your teeth and gum at night and apply it that way. I think that would be very beneficial. You can leave it in all night. The saliva will stick it to your gums and hold it in place. And then in the morning, just kind of take a mouthful of water and rinse it out. If a little bit goes down, it's not going to hurt anything. You swallow a little of it, but most of the time it will stay in there and it will pull out that swelling and inflammation and pain. So try that for your tooth, and thank you for your comments and for your praise of clay. And I love that, making it a food for your body. Okay, we have another one from an unknown. Hi, Perry. I'm wondering about the benefits of clay when a person is going through a stressful period. You betcha, 100% get on clay. When you're in a stressful period, your whole body shuts down. Pretty much your acidity builds up. You're tight, you're tense. Clay baths will help relax you. But drinking the clay will balance that pH and get you, you know, in good shape. The other thing is to try not to get addicted to thinking. During stressful times, we're trying to think our way out of something rather than get calm and meditate and be quiet and let the answer arise. It's difficult to do at first, but I highly recommend meditating, listen to quiet music, and just stilling your mind. And notice, you know, it's finding solutions, it's talking to you, it's telling you this, it's telling you that. It's analyzing every step you take and every move in the situation. And just notice it and say, thank you for the message. You may leave now. I got it. And then still your mind. And then when it comes back, you say, thank you. You may leave now. And when you're trying to hold that space in your mind of no thought, You'll get it for a few moments, and then it's kind of like a catfish bumping on a baited line. You'll feel this little bump, 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 and there's a thought, and then plow. Next thing you know, you're back to thinking again. So when you feel those little bumps, just be aware, take a deep breath, and clear your mind. And I can't tell you how much that helps during stressful situations. The time you most need to go and let go is when you're in stress. When I am in overwhelm, that's when I need to lock my office door and go find a hammock and just let go and let God. And you just breathe and release and notice the tension in your body. You may want to shed a few tears. Let that be okay. And just relax and ask for a message. Ask for a sign. Ask for some angel guidance, however you like to say it. But be gentle with yourself during these stressful periods. And thank you for your question. All right, good questions today. Here's some more. Kathy in Miami, are there additional uses for clay in your living clay book? Yes, ma'am, there are over 101 questions, answers, protocols for different ailments. The book is a very good definitive guide for you. And I'm working on a new book now. Don't know when it'll be out, just to upgrade what I've learned over the last 6 or 8 years since I've written that book. And I'm real excited about sharing that with you. And a lot of the answers have come from you all. When you ask a question, it helps me find the answers and see the light a different way, and particularly when you share your testimonial and how you use the clay. You know, I had the lady the other day, my friend Jay, who called and said she was soaking her feet, and she got some galoshes and put the clay in her galoshes and slipped her feet in, and that way she could walk around while she was soaking her feet and didn't have to sit still. Well, I got some galoshes, but I got them the exact size of my foot. I put it on, I created a vacuum, and I couldn't get them off. I struggled for 10 minutes. I needed a boot jack to get my foot out. And the minute I got air in there, I heard a big sucking noise as the suction, you know, popped and let go. So if you're going to do that, get some oversized shoes to put your clay in, your clay water mix in, and then put your shoes on. I know some people with hands with arthritis will get some rubber gloves and poke the clay down in the fingers, the rubber gloves, and put the rubber gloves on and wear them like that for a while. So be creative, and thank you for educating me on lots of creative uses of the clay. Jamie in Pennsylvania, your deodorant pulls, I think, the toxins in my body. By nighttime I have BA, I start to clean my underarms. Okay, what it's doing is you have got some toxins under your armpits. Your lymph glands are kind of clogged up. If you will just start for a few days just using the clay under your arms, it will clean out those lymphatic glands, and after about 3 days you can go back on the deodorant and you shouldn't have any problem at all. That's what happened to the other lady. She used it 3 days, and she waited until a Sunday to try it because she didn't want to go to work and have BO from the clay. It sounds like the clay is causing BO, but what it's doing is it's a sign of something else going on in your body that needs cleaning out, and it's trying to clean it out, and it needs a little help. It's not getting it all out. BO and your bad breath are all a sign of detoxing. When you have bad breath, you're trying to detox, but it's a sign that there's something going on in your body that needs cleaning out. So try that, and then I think you can go back on the deodorant. The other lady did and said she's never had a problem again and loves it. All right, my friend Jay, here she is. Greetings, Perry. I'm still in California with my sister. She is still in the hospital. I am too afraid to put clay on her wound while in the hospital. What the wound specialists are doing seems very painful, especially when they clean it daily. She has to be medicated before they do it. I have living clay ready to go when she's finally home. Regarding the clay in bed, I have gifted my adult son's girlfriends with a relax and heal goodie box. Inside of it is what I call life-saving living clay. I put in a jar with a pretty bow, cashmere socks, white cotton gloves, along with pajamas that are a size too big. Included in the box is the clay soap, deodorant, and a mask. I also include a beeswax candle and a pretty little glass with Tavina herbal tea. They love the goodie bag. So guess what my Christmas gifts to loved ones and self will be. Thank you so much, Perrier, for your clay ministry. I'm doing well. Still physical therapy for the herniated disc, but getting better. Love you much and appreciate you. Thank you, Jay. Jay is one of our greatest fans of clay. She is beyond a clay advocate. She really purports it and shares it with a lot of friends. We have a lot of friends who are willing to share the clay with their friends and neighbors and love to give it as a box. What clever ideas. This is a very clever, creative woman. She has shared some of her recipes with us using clay and having delicious, healthy cookies with clay in them. And they're on the aboutclay.com site if you want to go check it out. She had Lyme's disease. Sorry, I went blank there for a minute. And it had gone undiagnosed for about 3 years. And she said, I felt like a dead woman walking. And when I started taking the clay, I got my life back. So she has given us a wonderful testimonial on her Lyme's disease and how it gave her body back to her. I wish you could be as, you know, could use the clay in the hospital. I don't know how the lady in Canada did it. She smuggled her clay while in the hospital. And she also put a poultice over her incision after they did the operator. And somehow she had washed it off before they got there. And she cleared up in record time. When the doctor took the stitches out, he said, you're four weeks post-op. Like she was 4 weeks ahead of where the normal healing people do because she had been putting the clay on there. So thank you for that. And I'm so sorry your sister is having to go through this, and I can't wait till she can get home and you can really help her. Okay, boy, the questions keep flowing today. Here's one. I had a terrible toothache. Used clay with my retainer that I use every night. It took two nights, and I have no pain. A dental tray of any kind would work to keep the clay applied. Excellent. There's another excellent idea. And I'm assuming you're using the clay mask in there and putting your retainer in that it would kind of hold it up in there. A lot of times if you put the wet clay in, it just slides down your throat. But a dental tray might do it too. And you can get those, you know, at the drugstore now. They sell them for these kids playing football and baseball so they can protect their teeth. Another good way to apply the clay and use it. Now, I don't know who to thank for that. Your name isn't here, but we do thank you. Christina in San Diego. A relative is diagnosed with GIST, astromal tumor. Doctor described IMATINIB, I cannot pronounce these words, imatinib to her and told her she needs to go on it for 3 years. I researched on the drug and of course it's toxic. It's used as an inhibitor of a certain protein. How would clay help her? I need to look up that type of tumor first and I am going to capture your email address right now. I will look it up and read on it and see if I can figure out if clay might be a solution for that. So let me get over here and copy this so I can do some research and answer that a little more fully. And thank you, Christina. I will look that up and get back with you. All right, that looks like all the questions for now. I'm going to slip over to our phone line and ask quickly if anyone has a question or comment they'd like to make. And if I don't, you press star 2 and I can open your line. If no lines are open, I'm going to deliver a birthday cake to my 40-year-old daughter. Ah, here's one. Just a moment. Hello? This is Perry.
Hi.
Hi,
Perry. I'm Jan in Idaho, and I had a brain surgery where they opened up my skull up by the midline and took out a non-cancerous tumor and sealed up, healed up, everything, and then about 3 weeks ago started having an infection, and a little spot opened up on my scar about 3 inches back in the hairline there above my right eyebrow, and this clear liquid started squirting out. Well, the neurosurgeon has me on a broad-spectrum antibiotic so as not to have to go in and cut my head open again and clear it
yeah.
out. And I wanted to know when to take the clay in relationship to when I take the medicine.
Okay. Here's
and,
what I
and if I can do that. And if I had put clay up on the wound before I went to see the infectious disease doctor, and he said, I don't think you should do that. Well, of course you have to say that. He's from the AMA,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So
I would definitely do it. It will pull out
put
that
infection. Put the poultice on? Okay.
Yes, definitely do a poultice on and keep it on there. You know, change it frequently, and it will pull the infection out. It may get a little more drainage as it's pulling it out, but just trust the
That'd
clay.
That would be good.
It won't
I don't
pull
want
it
the,
out.
Yeah, I don't want the stuff to go into my brain. So I thought it was a logical thing. The poultice, when I did it a week ago before I saw him, I put on like about a half an inch thick. Is that what I need
good.
To do, or
Perfect.
Does it need to
yes.
be less? A half
no,
inch,
I
okay?
think that is good. Yeah, more
and then
is
do
better.
I wait till it dries? Do I cover it with
I would
wrap?
Just, you know, if it's in an area that you can walk around and not get it all over everything, I would let it dry. If not, you can put
okay. Let it dry and then rinse it off and then put another moist one on.
Yeah, but I'd let it dry and I'd leave it dry on for a while. There's really, when you leave it on after it dries,
oh.
it's still pulling for a while. So I'd leave it on a while after it dries.
Okay.
Maybe 30 minutes after it's dry, good, because it's still pulling
okay.
and working. And
I
then
didn't...
put some more on.
Okay,
yeah.
rinse it off and do it again. Okay,
yes.
and then
and
what
as
about
far
the...
as drinking it, yeah. call your pharmacy and ask how long it takes to absorb that particular medicine. And
okay.
then you can take it any time after that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I've had it here for a while, and I just haven't, I never have been able to get into a clay bath because of my knee and how heavy I am, and the diabetes thing, it's all around my middle, but I didn't even know where to start, and I haven't worn a bra in years because my lymphatic system's so clogged up. So while I'm on this medication and dealing with this infection, would it be a good idea or not to use the clay under my armpits? I'm just here at home. I'm not
No, I would use
anywhere.
It under your armpits. Yeah, it's not going to yes. hurt anything. It would only benefit you. If you want to put a poultice over your stomach at night.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't want to do two body organs like you don't want to do your kidney and your liver at the same time. But
no.
just over your lower gut is fine. You can put it on and cover it with some Saran wrap and sleep with it on.
Yeah, I guess I would work on the liver.
Okay, well, you put it on for the liver the first time. Only do it for about an hour.
Okay.
You don't want to. You know, if you start feeling tired, don't leave it on quite as long and let the liver kind of give it a chance to regroup and balance itself. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Thank you
I
for that,
it.
And hang in there. And you might
Thank
do a
you.
Foot soak since you can't get into a bath or a shower, or just put some clay on you topically and dry and then get into a shower.
I
There's
could
a lot
do
of creative ways.
Because I have this bath chair, and I have two buckets.
Okay.
And I could sit in there and put it in. And it's okay to run it in a blender. What about the metal blades?
Well, all you want to do is wash it off immediately afterwards. As soon as you pour it out of your blender, you want to wash the blades.
But the blades don't cause any chemical reaction to the clay?
It's prolonged contact.
Oh, okay.
Not temporary contact. It's not going to be on there but a few minutes. That's not going to hurt anything. But if you left it overnight, your blades may start to rust.
Right, okay. And how much, was that the 1 to 5 for the soak, foot soak?
Yeah, for a foot soak. Just 1 to 5 or somewhere around there. You can make it thicker if you want, or you can make it waterier if you want. Just see what works with you, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. Bless you. I so appreciate this. Thanks for taking my call.
Hope to hear a good report back.
I definitely will be in touch.
All right. Thank you, darling. Bye-bye,
Jen. Thank you. Bye.
And I have another caller here. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Hi there.
This
is Dale, yes.
Good to have you on the line. How can I help you, Dale?
Well, I have a few questions. One is, what do you think the difference between diatomaceous earth and living clay is, and what are the benefits of diatomaceous earth, and what are the benefits of living clay? How are they different, and do they complement each other?
They can complement each other some. They actually do the same things, but they do it differently. They do the diatomaceous earth is also alkaline, and clay is alkaline. So they do alike. But diatomaceous earth is little diatoms crushed up seashells from billions of years, and they're finally ground together. And supposedly when you drink them, they cut the worms up. Now, when you drink clay, clay captures the worms, the parasites. Parasites go to the clay, they get into the clay molecule, and the clay carries them out of the body. So you're accomplishing the goal two different ways. Diatomaceous earth is not absorbent. When you mix it with water and shake it, it's going to separate. If you let it sit, your diatomaceous earth will go immediately to the bottom, and you'll have a light gray water on the top. Whereas with a good clay, you're going to have an emulsified water. I definitely seen the clay in the water, and it doesn't separate out. Some of the heavier granules will always settle to the bottom, but in general, it'll look kind of like chocolate milk. You can't see through it. Clay is more absorbent. It absorbs and absorbs. And I don't think diatomaceous earth has that capacity. Since it doesn't swell, clay seems to have a stronger propensity for grabbing and holding the toxins. You might say they're cousins of a sort. They're both in the sea, and I'm sure there's some clay in with the diatomaceous earth, some silica and sand in with the little diatoms that were all crunched up in there. But it's totally different from clay. They're different and yet somewhat similar. I know people that take both of them. I like to take them a little bit apart. I tried it for a while and I couldn't tell anything great, so I just quit. But I wanted to experiment with it and play with it and see. If you mix it with your clay, it might make your clay separate out and not leave it as emulsified. So I always like to take the clay alone. I don't like to mix things with it. Clay pulls out where a lot of times people want to mix an oil with it, and oil has a tendency to soak in. So you've got two things of doing opposite actions. So it's better for me to take the clay alone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just gathering it in here.
Okay.
So mixing them together is not a good idea. I've heard people doing that, and you're saying, no, don't do that.
Yeah, you can try it and see, but I think what you're doing is you're diluting two elements to get a third blend. So I would take them individually to get their full benefit without dumbing them down, so to speak, or diluting them or messing with Mother Nature. Probably would be a better way of saying it. Uh-huh.
I've got another question regarding candida. I know candida actually likes to thrive in an alkaline environment in the intestinal tract. And when you I'm thinking when you're taking living clay, it creates an alkaline environment, and that's what candida likes. So maybe you can address how that works. And how do you get candida out of the body? Is this a good way to do that?
Well, clay attracts viruses and fungus and bacteria and yeast infections. So that's it. It works by pulling it and capturing it and carrying it out. Clay is also homeostatic. It wants to bring the body into balance. You need a certain acidity, and as long as I drink it, you know, I have no trouble digesting my food, so I don't think it's bothering my digestive acids that I need. To say that it has a wisdom of its own and it knows where to go and what to do, that's what the Indians always said, and I have learned that none of us can figure out exactly how clay does what it does. How the blind boy that had 20 eye operations and was having severe pain attacks, he had glaucoma from birth, could not stop the pain. And the doctors operated 20 times, and they finally said the only thing we know to do is remove his eyes from his sockets. His dad heard me on the radio the first time. His son had an attack after that. He gave him a dose of the clay and water. He drank it. With 15 minutes, the pain was gone. I don't know how that happens. He got him on a maintenance dose of an ounce a day, and as long as he took that, the last time I talked to him, he hadn't had an attack in over a year. How does clay do that? I haven't a clue. I don't think medical science do. So there are a lot of things clay does that we just have to take on trust. And this is one of them. I know we need some acidic juices in our stomach to break down our food. And yet I don't have a digestion problem when I'm taking clay, regardless of how much I take. It just seems to know where to go and what to do, as crazy as that sounds. And I do have people that take the clay for candida. And if you're not following a diet, if you're not leaving off your sugars and your carbs and your things that cause the feed the candida, you're going to have a roller coaster effect, because the clay will get it under control and then it will come back with a vengeance. You know, when you slow down on the clay or something and let up, or maybe start eating sugar or carbohydrates, something that turns to sugar, it feeds it, and they are very prolific. Now, we're supposed to have some candida in us. We've all got some candida. It's when it gets out of control that the problems arrive, and I think it's getting a little too much credit. People, when they can't figure out a diagnosis, are saying, oh, it's candida. And I guess there's nothing wrong with cutting out glutens and dairy and going pretty much vegan. As long as you're getting plenty of protein, I don't see anything wrong with that. I don't know if that's an immediate cure-all or just sort of a Band-Aid. We don't know. I don't understand enough about candida. I think I keep asking people, how do you know you have candida? Well, I read the symptoms. That's not a good diagnosis. You can read the symptoms. If you read the medical journal, you'll think you have everything in there, because the symptoms are so broad and they affect everything. You know, your mind can get carried away. So I always want to know that people have had a test and know that there was a detectable way to tell they had candida, not by someone muscle testing or some machine giving you biofeedback. Before somebody labels me with that disease, I want to know a bigger proof and not one or two symptoms. See what I mean?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, we lived for years without ever hearing the word candida, and everybody was fine. And now we're all strapped with candida.
Right.
So it kind of makes you wonder.
Well, what about, you mentioned Lyme's disease. That's a tough one to get rid of. How's the clay doing with Lyme's?
Well, according to my friend Jay, it was doing very well. Now, she was on a diet and eating correctly, and when she started, but still she was so sick, she said, I felt like a dead woman walking. And with 3 days of taking the clay, she had miraculous improvements. Her energy was up. She felt alive again. And Jade has given me her phone number. If anyone wants to call her or email her, I'll give you her information. She has volunteered to be a spokesperson and kind of tell you what her protocols are.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to talk to her.
Okay. Can you shoot me an email, Dale?
So yes, I did send you an email.
Okay.
In the form of a question.
Oh, and a question?
Yeah.
Well, the questions are all gone, and I didn't capture it. If I don't catch it, I don't get it. So if you could just send it to Perry A, P-E-R-R-Y-A, at austin.rr.com.
Okay.
Then I will get you Jade's information.
Sounds like a plan. That'd be great. Here's another question about, I've got a patient with a brain tumor that is benign. It's called an acoustic neuroma, and it grows on the acoustic nerve. And it spreads to the auditory, well, acoustic nerve is the auditory. It spreads to the facial nerve and balance nerve. So it can really get entangled. And I'm wondering if taking the clay internally and maybe even clay packs on her face and head would make a difference with this.
You know, I don't know if it would, but it would darn sure be worth a try. I would definitely put the clay packs, put it behind her ear, anywhere in that area that's affected, around the ear, the base of the ear and the front of the ear and that jaw, and back up in the scalp, wherever they think that tumor is located or what's the cause of this. I would put the clay on thickly, leave it on, let it dry for 2-3 hours, wash it off and do that maybe twice a day. And see if they get, if you get a result. When clay works, you generally notice it within the first week. And it works pretty quick in most cases.
When you're talking about putting it on, what's the mixture? Is it?
It's a 1-3, one part clay to 3 parts water, and shake it. You always want to shake clay, never stir it. Shake it, and then let it sit for about 10 minutes so it can swell and absorb the water. And it'll be a creamy paste, kind of like a thick chocolate pudding.
Okay. And when you drink it, you're doing 1 to 4?
Is that what you're doing? 1 to 8. 1 to 8.
1 to 8, I'm drinking.
Mm-hmm. Like if you're using 8 ounces of water, you use 1 ounce of clay.
Okay.
And I make mine in a 32-ounce bottle, so I just multiply that times 4.
Okay. And you're probably better off, I would imagine you're better off using a glass container with a plastic lid.
Yes, that's good. Or a food-grade plastic. You want the PET 1 or 2. Top quality, non-leachable plastic.
Yeah, I would think that even that, it might, because it's such a powerful leacher, that it might even affect.
Well, if it does leach anything, it's going to capture it. That's the safety of clay.
Well, that's good. So
yeah,
8 ounces of water, 8 ounces of water to 1 ounce of clay.
Uh-huh, and always shake it. You want to get all the lumps out and let it stand. Now, when you mix it yourself, you're going to have a little residue that shifts to the bottom. Just leave that there and drink off the top. When you get to the bottom, add some more water to it, shake it loose, and feed it to your plants.
Oh, so you just shake it once?
Hmm?
You don't shake it each time you drink it?
I don't, no. I shake it real good once. You can shake it again the second day and let it settle again. You might loosen up a little bit more clay. But generally, the heavier, grittier particles are going to go to the bottom.
And what do you do with those heavier,
grittier? Some people drink all of it, but I prefer not to, huh?
Oh, so the gritty stuff you throw away?
Yeah, I don't throw it away. I feed it to my plants, and they bloom like crazy.
Oh, okay, feed it to the plants. Okay, gritty.
Yeah, it's minerals to plants.
Okay. I've heard people improving vision by putting clay packs over their eyelids. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have, and I do that quite a bit. And I'm also drinking carrot juice lately. I drink a green drink in the morning, and I mix it with carrot juice. And I've noticed I got up this morning, and I went to my exercise class and came back, and I had forgotten to pick up my glasses, and I didn't even notice that I didn't have them. So I've noticed I can come in and read my emails now without my glasses on. But
so
you can use the clay mud, put it over your closed eyelid, and get a little round circle of cotton. There are cotton pads, makeup pads, that women use to take their makeup off. You can get them at the grocery store or the drugstore, and they're round, a little bigger than a half dollar. And they're kind of compressed, and you can put the clay on your eye and just slap that up against it, and it holds the wet clay in place. If you let it dry on there, it dries real hard, and you have to rehydrate it, and it's kind of rough washing it off. It's a little abrasive to your eyelid. So if you keep it wet and leave it on 15 or 20 minutes, generally every time I do that, I get a little white stringy stuff coming out of my eye. It cleans your tear ducts. I used to have dry eyes. I don't anymore.
Okay. So you keep it wet with those cosmetic pads.
Yes. It keeps it wet and it keeps it in place, and you know it keeps you from opening your eye too. So if you wear glasses, put them over the top of it. You can walk around. You can look at TV with one eye, or do whatever you need to with one eye. It's not like you have to lay down and do one eye at a time and lay still.
Oh, right. Okay. The idea of putting clay packs on sounds like a plan, you know, a really good idea on
yes.
any part.
Yeah.
You've got liver spots.
You just don't want to do it on two major body organs at the same time because it's a little strenuous on the body. Like you don't want to put a liver poultice and a kidney poultice on at the same time. Do a liver poultice for an hour and then do a kidney poultice. And if your liver particularly, your liver and your kidneys, I guess, are the strongest body organs, if you start feeling fatigued or tired, take it off and wait a little while and then use it just for a little while again. Generally, an hour is good the first time. And after you build up to it, you can probably leave it on all night. But just
When you put it on, you mentioned something that I've been reading your stuff, and I think you mentioned something made by Glade.
Glade Press and Seal. It's called Press and Seal.
Okay.
And it's like you put it over a bowl and press down, and it seals the food tight. It's an advanced Saran wrap, only it's slightly sticky on one side, and you can cut a diagonal strip to use down your spine. You just want to, and I'm always bumping myself, and I get these blood bruise spots on my arm, so I put a clay on kind of thickly and cut a square where I can have the dry edges go around, and I can leave it on all day, and it's like a mild Band-Aid. It's not harsh, and it keeps the clay in place.
It probably keeps the clay wet as well because it can't breathe,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Is that a good thing or bad thing when you keep it wet?
It can be a good thing. Sometimes it's good to let the clay dry. Like if you have a rash or poison ivy, you may want to let it dry because you want to dry up the blisters. But in a lot of places, you know, on an open wound, you want it wet because you don't, if when it dries, it's going to pull and break the wound open. So on an open wound, you just kind of use common sense with it.
Okay.
Clay is a very common sense thing. And it's
yeah.
safe to experiment with.
Yeah, I'd love to have my vision get better.
Well, you try that and get back with us, okay? Because we had a guy that was, I think he was 70 or 80, and he did it. He was trying to get rid of a birthmark on his face, and while he was putting the clay on the birthmark, he just did a whole facial and put it over his eyelids too. And he did that for 6 weeks, and then he noticed he could read the newspaper without his glasses. He told his brother, who was in his 80s, and he started doing it, and the same thing happened to him. But he was doing it every day.
Yeah, I think, you know, when your imagination could go wild with this. Is there a way to, it'd be nice to put it over your entire body real thick, you know, but that would probably be a little ridiculous.
Oh, no, summertime is great. Cover yourself in clay and go to the beach. Put your bathing suit on or your Speedo and cover yourself in clay and let get dry. Wherever we have the sun, you're not going to get sunburn. It's a natural blocker. And then go get in the ocean and wash off with the salt water drawing, too. So you have a double entendre going. But most of us don't live by a saltwater beach.
Right, I live up in Cleveland on Lake Erie.
Well, you wouldn't get the saltwater effect, maybe, but it's a good way to put it on and stand out in the sun and let it sun dry and wash off if you have a lake or something to get into.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
All right, well, play with those ideas and.
All right.
Tune in next time. It's nice talking to you, Dale.
Yes, thank you.
And I'll get that information to you.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye. Okay, hello? Line 3? Hello?
Hi. I'm sorry, I had my phone on mute.
Yeah.
Real quick, I know you've got to go. I just wanted to mention, I hope this is okay. I had three people in my life die from kidney problems, and I just wanted to mention to the man who wanted to know about clay, who's on dialysis, to look up baking soda, because the kidney naturally makes baking soda. So when you
the kidney
buy
what?
It, the kidney. The man said earlier in your phone, in your broadcast that he had kidney failure.
But I couldn't understand what you said about baking soda.
Oh, the kidney naturally makes baking soda to buffer the acidity in our body.
Mhm.
So he might want to look up taking a baking soda bath, or even taking like start out maybe a quarter or a half a teaspoon of baking soda a couple times a day to buffer the acidity in his body, and to get pH testing strips so that he doesn't over alkalize his system.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention that because it's, you know, it's easy to find on the internet, and if I was in that situation, I sure would appreciate somebody mentioning something as easy as baking soda.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's one of the benefits of clay too. It's alkaline, so baking soda and clay, that would be a good combination there. Thank you very much for calling that in. I appreciate that.
Yeah, real quick, I was on the line a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking about getting rid of pain in my colon, and why I got my gastroenterologist irritated, so now she's pretty much refusing to do a colonoscopy on me. But I figure, you know, I really don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to get my colon cut out, so she's kind of forcing me to do this, to stick with it. So I was doing the poultice, and it was making me nervous because I was feeling that pulling action, and I think that's exactly what I needed to feel, but it was making me nervous. But anyway, so I'm back on doing the poultice. I am drinking the clay. I did a huge glass today. I was doing like 3 ounces, and I went up to maybe 4 or 5 ounces.
Good.
I was having trouble getting it down, so I would always have to mix it with something, which I really don't want to do. So one of the things I came up with was just to put a little I use Kal, K-A-L, stevia. It's pretty concentrated. There's no erythritol in it. And I just started throwing that in there and mixing it up with just plain clay and some stevia. And that's been helping me get it down pretty easy.
Good. Excellent. I know some people that put it in their tea with stevia. So, yeah.
And I'm usually I'm not a big baby when it comes to taking things, but the clay, I'm not enjoying drinking it. I know it's super good for me, so I'm going to continue with it, but I'm not enjoying it. But
yeah, my grandson takes it in a little apple juice. There are a lot of ways to cover it up, and you know, little kids will drink it in chocolate milk.
Right.
They never know if they have it, or strawberry milk, or something like that. If you're not an aversion to dietary things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, get creative with it.
So you're saying, like, so I have a poultice, actually, living clay poultice on my colon area right now. I just started doing poultices. So you think I should just leave it on for just a little while and give it a rest, and then when should I start back on? You know, how
you know,
often
if you're feeling something, I would stay with it because it's trying to work something free. And you may get a little, may get worse before it gets better, but it tells me it's working. Like the guy with the kidney stones and the pain in his back, and he kept on it, and then that's when he started noticing he was having passing sand through his urine.
Yeah.
And it was kidney stones.
Yeah, I'm the one who said that I noticed it was pulling out my gallstones, too.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Great.
But, so...
You know, you've got to be the guide of that. You know how uncomfortable you are or not with it. So just follow your body instinct. Okay?
Well, the truth is that I was in a whole lot of pain to the point where I was at the point where I'm like, well, do I really want to get... I've been sick for 5 years, and I really just want to stay home. I feel like I'm dying, and I just want to stay home with my family. And you know, I'm thinking, you know, do I really want to go to the hospital and, you know, start all that? But the pain was a lot worse earlier today, and I put the poultice on, and it feels a little better. So I'm hoping that will continue. So you think I should probably just stick with it and keep the poultice, maybe change it, but keep it up?
Well, I think you should really listen to your body. If it's helping, continue it, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If you think it's causing it, maybe slow down on the length of time, but don't exactly quit, because clay is usually trying to do something, trying to correct something.
Yeah.
That's the pattern.
I used it to get rid of a skin cancer on my arm.
I just
kept it on there until it dried it up, and that worked really good. It looked like more of a basal cell carcinoma, and then on, I think I told you guys this before, and then on the something that looked like melanoma on my chest a couple years ago, I just used a really strong hydrogen peroxide that was 12%, and I just used a toothpick so I would only get it exactly where I wanted it. And it burned for half an hour, and it's been gone and never came back, so somebody might want to use that idea too. But it's not easy to find 12%. My health food store happened to have 12%, 35%. So I was pretty fortunate in that area that I just could pick it up at the store. But 35% is easier to find, and you just dilute it 11 to 1, 1 ounce of 35% hydrogen peroxide and 11 ounces of distilled water only in a glass jar. And then that way you have your own food-grade hydrogen peroxide on hand. I also take that in drops. Like, I've just been, like, using one trick after another to extend my life because I had problems. Root canals destroyed my immune system, so I'm always, like,
Yeah. Well, it sounds
trying
like
to
you
just
picked
to
up some.
Trying to my life for a couple months. What?
It sounds like you picked up some good hints along the way.
Yeah, I sit here and do nothing but read websites.
Oh, so bless your heart.
On my Android, and so that's probably how I found you. And then Kennet Wheatgrass, and then a product called I think Garden of Life Original Green Food Blend is like the two of these things, and spirulina have been helping me a lot lately too, like cleans the blood. But when I get off this line, I'm going to go put some clay on my armpits.
Good. Well, thank you for calling in.
I'm going to do two places because I think at this point, when I'm thinking about going to the hospital, I need to just go ahead and put it on two spots because, yeah, I think I just need it. And I'm really hoping that that girl with the brain problem gets better soon. Tell her I feel, you know, I hope she's listening. I feel her pain, and I really hope that we're all praying for her.
Yes, we are.
So,
when she got the tumor removed, it was just a little infection that came up.
Yeah.
So.
But the problem is trying to get an infection out of bone is the problem, out of your brain. Mine are in my jaws, and so it's not easy. But that's the beautiful thing about clay is, like you say, it knows where to go. And when I take things like, I also make my own vitamin C by using 2-to-1 vitamin C, ascorbic acid only. You put 2 half teaspoons in a glass of distilled water, and then 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, and let it fizz. Sodium ascorbate is like really, really the only, from what I understand, the only kind of vitamin C you should take, unless you can stomach the ascorbic acid, which I don't think many people can. So it's 2-to-1, and then that makes 5,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and I've been taking that.
Well, I think
you know.
Need to go write a book.
Ha. Well, maybe you could put an addendum on your new book, and I can tell you my ideas, because it would be a waste to spend all this time in bed reading websites and not have it. You know, maybe I'll make a list for you, and you can just do what you want with it. You can maybe put it on your website. But, yeah, so my name's Marie, and I'll let you go.
Thank you, Marie. Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, we're well over our time today. We've gone 30 minutes over. I'm sure it hadn't recorded an hour and 30 minutes, but Cheryl will catch as much as she can. Thank you all for listening in. We have some more questions, but I'm not sure people are still on the line. I'm going to capture these and answer them. Whoops, I've got one with no. Wow, we have lots today. I'm going to capture these, and then I can email them individually and answer them. But I did have one that did not have a return address on there, so let me see if I can find that one. How much should I take and how often for acid reflux? How long before it is safe to stop my GERD meds? You can start with 2 to 3 ounces 3 times a day, and you can probably stop right then. Usually 1 to 2 days, it's cleared up. So, you know, you start with 2 ounces twice a day. If you have it during the day, go take another ounce. And once it's stopped, just stay on a maintenance level, and you know, if you feel it coming back, kick it up a notch and then go back to your maintenance level. It is wonderful for acid reflux. I can attest to that. Mine was gone in 2 days, and I was sleeping propped up on 3 pillows. So, all right, I'm going to close out and answer these emails and go deliver my daughter a birthday cake. Thank you all for listening in. It's wonderful today. I don't know if all this is recorded. I would go ahead and answer these questions. And some of them, anyway, I'll try to answer them individually, and maybe we can discuss them again the next show. Thank you for listening in. This is Perrier signing out.